With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here it is, another episode of the Infinite Banter Podcast. What is going on? This is DJ Soundwave, also known by my government name, Mark Jolliff. Thanks for checking out the show. Got a big one today. Got my guy H2 Owens going to come on the show, talk about his album Waterproof, talk about a couple singles he has out, some other stuff he's working on, even talk about The Walking Dead. So stay tuned for that. But before we get going here, let's do a quick sponsor read. Today's episode is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything, from the streets to the peaks. DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. And, you know, especially now that traveling's starting to come back, you can't put everything in an overhead. You got to have some DB equipment with you to make sure you get everything to where you're going and back. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to the link in our show notes. DB, it's time to move on. Time to get going. Once again, you are tuned into the Infinite Banter Podcast. Thanks for checking out the show. This is Mark Jolliff, a.k.a. DJ Soundwave. Really appreciate everybody who's been listening, checking out the show, going online, commenting, replying, retweeting, all that stuff. I appreciate all of you. Salute to you guys. If you did not check out that last episode I did with Tony Boy and Gaines talking about their new EP, Project 77, which is out right now, as well as Project 88. So go check out both of those, and Project 99 is to come out shortly. So salute to those guys. That EP is a straight banger. You can hear a couple songs from that EP if you go back and check it out. Really had a good time talking with those dudes. We're going from Buffalo to South Florida right now. My guy H2 Owens, his album Waterproof with DJ Proof is out right now on Bandcamp. You can also hear him on WVCC and check out his Weekend Bag, where he does write ups of different albums that are out. Man, he just really keeps that underground, that raw hip hop alive, because he definitely salutes and reps it with that Weekend Bag. So definitely check out his write-ups on projects that are out right now and forthcoming. Had a blast talking with H2 Owens. He talked about The Walking Dead, which is hilarious because, you know, I did not set that up. And like I always say, a lot of times these things go in different directions. I talk about sports or Walking Dead, wrestling with some of these guests, and it's really cool because, you know, we can talk about the albums and the songs all day, but I like when we could pepper in some other topics. So really appreciate H2 Owens for coming on the show. Salute to him. And before we get to his show, just a reminder, you guys can find the show on all digital platforms. You can definitely check us out on Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, CastBox, Blueberry, Podchaser. And if you go on Podchaser or Apple Podcasts, make sure you rate and review the show. It's really important. I really appreciate everybody who's done that. You can go on YouTube, check out clips from past guests, and check out the show on social media like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Infinite Banter Podcast. All right, without further ado, let's talk to my man H2 Owens. Talk about some zombies and hip-hop coming up right here. It was a lot of fun talking with him, man. Can't wait to get to it for you guys. Play a song from his album Waterproof, a couple other joints he's got out right now, and just see what he's doing in the future and catch up with my man H2 Owens repping South Florida. But as you know, this show does not begin until the one and only, the legendary King from Queens, DMC, speaks these words. you're about to hear.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is me, DMC, the K-I-N-G, the greatest MC in history. And right now, you're listening to Infinite Banter, because we will banter on forever, because this is the only place for all of y'all to ever be. I be Infinite Banter.
All right, before we talk to my man H2 Owens, let's play a track from his album, The Waterproof. It's H2 Owens and DJ Proof, and this album is definitely a banger. You can find it on Bandcamp. The song that really grabbed me is the first track on it, Good Riddance. This one really sets the album off, and it's a good introduction to what H2 Owens and DJ Proof can do. So definitely peep this, and on the other side of this song right here, we're going to talk to the man himself, H2 Owens. But here we go, Good Riddance from DJ Proof and H2 Owens off their album, Waterproof, here on the Infinite Banter Podcast. Let's go. Wow.
Fuck with H. Who?
H.
People
H.
And
H2O.
But he just,
that motherfucker ain't never got
dropping shit.
H.
Right?
H2O.
Like,
I don't
know.
I don't
know.
Tell me, what good's potential if you never reach it fully? I ran out of attention when the elders try to school me. Made a fool of me, lost focus fucking with the foolery. Now I'm focused on my future, feel it full of me. Taking full advantage of the crooked system. I study the mechanics of the pulley mechanism to assist me with the heavy lifting. Gotta play the cards the dealer's given in a way that even if I lose a hand, I'm grinning, cause I know that in the end I end up winning. The secret is don't ever let them see you sweating, never think of quitting. The code word, rest stop, restroom.
What that means?
Never take no shit sitting. Stepping in a Vice City cipher, you best not spit a riddim. The circle's lit cause you getting lit up by some hitters who feel that shit's forbidden. It's spitting a bar that's bitten, just taking out the trash, good riddance. I'm just trying to raise the ball with good riddance. And DJ Proof always comes with good rhythms. That's why I'm rocking with them. H and Proof a team, I had a crazy dream that I built a rocket with them. People needed a means of escape, so we schemed on this tape to transport them off this rock if they cop to listen. This is motivation music when you want a mission. Change your circumstances when you haven't got a pot to piss in. I'm a funnel of the blessings that my God has given. Generous with rhetoric, huh? I got a lot to give him. But what good is dropping lava if you ain't sharing wisdom? Just a bullet aimed at leaving some of your noggin missing. Bars they spitting are identical to the ones in prison. Meant to imprison inner city citizens in this system. Instead of committing that sin of attrition, I'm a jeweler committed to fixing some gems that make your vision glisten. Man, I ain't pushing no pipe dreams or filling the pipes of fiends to improve my living conditions. These are practical lessons I'm spitting, meant to improve your quality of living. Good riddance.
I'm trying to raise the bar.
Trying to raise the bar with good riddance.
I'm just trying to raise the bar with good riddance. I'm just trying to raise the bar with good riddance. And DJ Proof always comes with good rhythms. Break it down, I break it down. DJ Proof gon' break it down.
Break it down,
break it down. Break it down now. H2O gon' break it down.
Break it down,
break it down. Break it down now. BCC can break it down. Break it down, break it down now.
Yo, 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 Proof, you nasty on this shit.
Enough procrastinating, man. Thank y'all for waiting. Welcome to the Waterproof. Let's get busy.
What up, y'all? This is Acrobatic. You know, I possess the inhuman capabilities, and right now I'm dropping the Infinite Banter with my homeboy DJ Soundwave. Check him out, y'all.
You're tuned into the Infinite Banter Podcast. I am DJ Soundwave, and right now I'm joined by an MC, online personality, host of New Blaze Tuesday and Thursday Night Cypher on WVCC. You can check out his weekly write-ups for the Weekend Bag on WVCC Radio, and you can check out his album with DJ Proof on Bandcamp called The Waterproof. Reppin' South Florida, the one and only H2 Owens is on the podcast. What's up, man?
Salute, salute. What's good, Soundwave, man? Thank you for having me on, man. I've been dying to be on Infinite Banter for a while now, man.
Salute. Hey, you're the first person to ever say they wanted to be on here, so thank you.
I'm a big fan, man, of all you do. I've been bothering you for months, sending you my music. Yo, would you play my song? Would you play my song? Man. You keep on telling me. Bro, I run a podcast.
I've been big timing you.
I might play a song when I have you on the podcast.
No, it's the closest I get to big timing somebody. Like, I don't know, man. You know, I'm not sure if I'm feeling it. You know, I don't know. I got to talk about Walking Dead that episode. I can't do it. You know. That's all good, man. Salute.
And that made it, when I found out that you were a Walking Dead fan, and that made it an even bigger freaking perk for me to be on the show, man, because I'm a whisperer. And
oh, shit.
Man. Facing stuff to get around the freaking zombies, though.
Hey, man, but well, before I ask you about the album and all that, I'll just hit you with that since we already brought it up. Are you watching the current season? Where are you at in the TV series?
No, I actually am. One is that shit got so tedious and they drew it out so long. I also got into you and I had a conversation via text where we were talking about the show versus the comic book,
right?
And I made a mistake when I got bored of the show. I got into the graphic novel, and that freaking changed my whole outlook on the storyline, the mythos. And in reading the graphic novel, you know how the story goes like two different directions. And so what I was doing is I just got deeply into the graphic novel, and I would just check in on the show every once in a while just to see, all right, are they keeping up? How close are they keeping it with the graphic novel? And it got to a point where I just lost interest in the show. And I don't did you finish the graphic novel? I know when I talked to you, you said that you had started it.
Yeah. So my thing is I haven't read every comic. I started reading the book. This is crazy because I'm a comic book fan, and zombies are my favorite horror, you know, icons, you know, characters, whatever. I had never read the book before the show. So I started reading the graphic novels, I want to say after season one ended, because I was just like, man, this show's so good. The comic book's got to be just as good. I have read almost all of it. There's a portion, the Commonwealth stuff, I have not read. But last year? When they did the last Walking Dead comic book, I bought the last three or four issues because I knew it was wrapping up. So I bought those. Wow. So I kind of know where it ends, even though I don't know before, you know.
So as you know, the way that the graphic novel ends is completely different than how the show ends.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, theoretically, we know that some characters aren't going to be part of it that are
exactly.
big in the ending.
Well, I mean, the main character that the graphic novel ends with, we already know is not part of the
spoiler
end of the show.
Carl's dead, guys.
Yeah, not to get exactly. Well, you see, that's what messed me up, because I had read to the end of the comics, right, of the graphic novels before I saw the episode where Carl dies on the show. So in my storyline, I'm here like, okay, Carl outlives Rick. Rick dies at the old age and stuff, and Carl freaking outlives him and keeps the whatever the community's going and stuff. And then it ends with like him retiring or whatever, or riding off the sunset. But when I saw the episode where Carl dies, I'm like, hold on, they're taking this in a whole different direction. And right. then I thought when I would see the commercials for last season, I'm here like, oh, Rick's dying. You see him walking down the street, freaking dehydrated, and having all these memories of Carl and this and that. So I'm here like, oh, okay, so this season is where they're going to kill off Rick. It's going to be the end of it. So when Proof came back to me, he's like, yo, did you see the new episode? I'm like, of what? He's like, of Walking Dead. I'm like, they're back? He's like, yeah, the last season. I'm like, I thought Rick died last season. He's like, no, they flew him out somewhere. And now you're finding out where they flew him out to. I'm like, oh, shit, there's a whole other story. I got to get back into it. So now I got to go back and watch it on Netflix or wherever they allow me to stream it all in 2 days.
Right, and I don't know if you know about the Rick movies that have not happened. So supposedly they're going to make a trilogy of flicks based on the helicopter ride for Rick, and they haven't started filming them or any. Well, basically, it's Andrew Lincoln's like, I can't do the show anymore. Like, I'm burned out. I got to do other things. And as you know, a lot of actors have gone on to do other things because they can't do this for 15 years. So, you know, they've moved on, and the way they worked around is like, okay, we're not going to kill off his character. We're going to leave it open where we can do something with them. And they announced they're going to make these movies. That was, what year was that? 2019, that episode where he quote unquote dies. They haven't made a movie yet. I know COVID has probably screwed a lot of that up, but still, man, they haven't filmed a single frame of movie. So I don't know what the heck is happening.
Well, as long as they got the rights, man, they can hold on to that forever, bro.
Yeah, but the only thing is, like, the show is going to end, and we're not going to, like, the Rick thing is never going to get wrapped up. And I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me as a fan, because, like, I know how the comic books end, and I hated when they killed Carl. Not because I was, like, this huge Carl guy. I just thought that was the whole point of the show, was that Rick was to get Carl, get reunited, and then Carl's supposed to outlive him, and, you know, and then, of course, they completely... he screwed it up, man.
but you know what, man? I have to give it up to the writers, even though the writers have made a lot of mistakes on the Walking Dead series on the show. But one thing that they were able to do right is with Carl dying and leaving that letter in the comic book, it was just, I don't know, it was the reason he lets Negan out of the cage to help him out with the whispers. It wasn't as much, but I like the way Carl passing on that season was one of the most impactful freaking moments of the whole show for me, man. That when you remember when the blonde chick dies in the hospital, like freaking, I think it's like early season 3.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. That's like moments like that are just freaking super impactful. They're like, oh, and definitely that Carl passing and Michonne and Rick mourning him, that was just one of the most heart pulling scenes out of the whole show. So yeah. I'm not mad at him with that and stuff, and I'm eager to see the new season now, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they definitely do things where they switch it up and they remix it. You know, they'll pick up a storyline with somebody else. So they don't completely ignore what they did in the comics, but it's because that character got killed off or they did something different with that character. Like, for instance, Andrea's was still alive much later in the comics. In mm-hmm. the TV show, they offed her season 3. So they had to put Definitely. Michonne in that spot, you know, love interest of Rick. So, yeah, man, I mean, they killed off Carl and it's going to change the ending. It's going to be Judith probably at the end reading the book or whatever about Rick and all that. But, man, I'm still watching it. I'm still a fan. I still support it. But it's definitely got its flaws here and there. So we'll see what they do, man.
Did you ever get into the Fear?
Yeah, I watch it. I've watched every episode and I have like a love-hate relationship with it. It's got its moments, but it's just not even close to being the same show, man.
I started flipping out when they introduced Morgan into it. I mean, like, how the hell did they bring Morgan into it?
Right, he walked all the way to Texas, apparently, you know.
I'm serious.
With the same shoes since the apocalypse started.
at least he wasn't on a canoe, rowing the canoe with his staff.
Oh, jeez.
And that's how they find them out there when they're on the yacht.
And I love Morgan, man. He's one of my favorite characters, but I kind of feel like they've turned him into this, like, they've ruined his, I feel like they've ruined his character a bit. I wish he would have been on the main show still. They have no star power on the current show. They could have really used somebody like him, a good actor like that, to help bring it up because they don't have Rick and Michonne and name mm-hmm. everybody else. It's not on there anymore. It's Daryl's your lead guy, and he barely says 10 words in an episode. He grunts more than talks. So that's the main, you know, it's, I love Daryl, but come on. We need some more heavy-duty actors. Yeah, man. The graphic novel is definitely anybody checking out the show right now. Read the books. As well as watch the show, you know.
Oh, no. If you're a fan of the show, the graphic novels is a great way of seeing the whole story you love again through new eyes and with new twists that you don't expect, man. I became an instant fan when you see the way in the graphic novel how Shane dies versus the show. It's freaking crazy. Yeah. The whole Michonne and the governor freaking arc. Oh, that I was sold. I mean, like, oh no, this is way better, man. I'm freaking, right. I'm here for it all. So definitely one of the craziest and illest scenes I've ever seen in any book, not just a graphic novel, man. That whole Michonne and the governor scene, her getting her revenge.
Oh, that's, man, crazy.
Freaking great stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff they do in the show that's sometimes better than the book. Like Carol is still around and they pretty much offed her pretty early. So there's things they do better on the show. And then there's some things, of course, you can't do on the show. And the comic book is better for that because there's some things that are just, you know, just left for the comics.
Yeah. I think the writers of the comic could never have imagined like Carol's character turning into that. And I think that's based heavily on the actress.
Yeah.
She's just a badass.
No, she's great, man. She's awesome. And speaking of things that are awesome, we got to talk about your album, The Waterproof, man.
Man, I'm interested in talking about everything else but me, man. I'm that kind of.
I got you, man.
I really don't. And a lot of people, especially down here in Miami, who've interviewed me, they're like, because I do a lot of interviews. I give a lot of people their flowers, and they're like, yo, it's time for you to shut up, H, and freaking, let's talk about your album for once, man. Tell us about what you're working on. You know, and it's hard for me, man.
No, I get what you're saying, man, because it's always hard. I mean, not that I'm on that level, but I've been on a couple podcasts and people ask me, so I'm like, dude, I don't want to talk about me because this is not why I do this. I don't care about me. It's about what you guys are doing. I just want to throw some questions at somebody and hear some good music or whatever. So, hey, man. Yeah, this album's dope, dude. They can find it on Bandcamp if they haven't heard it already. And it's you and DJ Proof. That's a really cool name, how you came up with Waterproof. Since you don't want to talk about yourself too much, we can talk about it a little bit. Talk about the concept.
No, definitely, man. salute, first of all, to 1000, Sir Charles. Local master of the mic down here, man, represents What They Do Crew. He's worked with DJ Proof for years, and when I told him, yo, I got a beat pack from Proof, and Proof down here, just so anybody who doesn't know, we represent the SoFlo community, which is the South Florida hip-hop community. We call it SoFlo, and it's just our underground independent hip-hop community here. We've had a serious scene down here since the early 90s, started off by pioneers like DJ EFN, who now runs Dream Champs, DJ Epps, Nick Fury, DJ Heron. I mean, folks who started off a movement here, pressing records, putting out early hip hop, trying to represent that underground East Coast sound. But down in the South, where it was a lot of club music, booty, bass, rap, ring, and stuff, because that's what was popping on the radio, what was popping at all the parties. But we had a huge following down here, man, of cats that were transplanted from New York, from New Jersey, and brought or had family in the East Coast, and would bring down the mix, would bring down the albums. And when I grew up here in the 90s, my first memory of having cable was the Disney Channel, finding the Disney Channel and being there like, yo, what? I could get cartoons and figure around the clock.
Right.
At 12 years old, my mom first got cable. And then the next thing I found was freaking the video jukebox. And I saw I'm rough and tough and all that stuff. I'll make you dance till you prance till you huff and puff. There's just no way you could get enough of me, yo, mister. Ever since then I was like, what is this? Freaking followed up by the Pee Wee Herman and
Joski Love.
Man, freaking stupid. Like, you listen back to that shit now, it's super cheesy, but at that time you're like, yo, they made a rap about Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee's Great Adventure was just out, early Fat Boys, just watching. I mean, I remember watching Eric B and Rakim's I Ain't No Joke on the video jukebox and thinking I was watching old school videos from New York, not knowing that, no, this is real time. This is what's coming out over there. And I'm listening to here, late 80s, early 90s. So we grew up on rap, on hip hop over here. We had a scene that was bubbling. And I grew up in the scene here, just building as a local MC who started off writing in his room, wanting to be a rapper, rapping in front of the mirror, to listening to the cats going on the local college radio station and rapping and being like, damn, I want to be one of them, and calling in and, yo, I want to represent my crew, this and this and that, in high school, ciphering with cats in high school. And then late high school years, we just a bunch of cats who rhyme. We grew out here, Pro Fresh, which is now made up of a lot of freaking Miami legends, Serum, Seven Star, Source Spoken, a lot of cats who put out albums here internationally and stuff through Botanica del Jibaro, and whatever we were representing here for years, man, since like I said, mid early 90s, representing ciphers and battles, performances, until whatever. I grew up out of the just being a rapper, an MC, and started getting into the promotion side of it and trying to put out places and platforms where people could perform out here in Miami, where bigger artists could come down. And luckily, through my company, Vice City Cypher, I was involved in bringing Brother Ali down, Action Bronson,
nice.
Blue, Planet Asia. I mean, just good underground acts, man. And then after being out of the scene for a while, I decided to come back, and I saw everybody was doing the online thing. And during the Corona era, I got myself my little mic, my little inbox, my OBS interface, and we've been doing WVCC Radio on Twitch ever since, and helping just get good hip hop out there. And just from playing all this new stuff, I just got inspired again, and I got with Proof. Proof is our local Apollo Brown down here. He's like our primo down here, man.
Nice.
He's got that freaking, that East Coast Detroit smooth soul boom bap, and he does it right, man. And I don't know, you're a DJ, but as MCs, we run into something where somebody says, yeah, I make beats. And that's always a toss up. You're like, okay, well,
right, yeah.
Let me hear what you're working with. and then they play them. And some cats, they're like, it's nice. I see where you're going with it, or I see the sound that you're doing, but that's just not my sound, right?
Down here
in Miami, I ran into that a lot because a lot of people make beats, but then you try, yo, come over to the studio. I got some beats. You would sound great on them. And I go over there and they're playing some Trick Daddy trap shit for me. And I'm here like, I'm sorry, that's not my style. And they don't understand it. They're like, what do you mean?
We're in Florida. Come on.
Down here in right. Miami. And they don't understand when I'm there. Like, yeah, no, I'm looking for like that Dilla style. I'm looking for like that P-Rock, Primo style. They're like, oh, you want to sound like those New York cats? And that's the whole thing. It was a regional thing. And Proof just had that sound naturally. So I reached out to Proof. I asked him if I could work. He had some beat tapes up on Bandcamp. I asked him if I could write to some. And he's like, yeah. And trying to write to one song, ended up writing to a whole beat album of his. I just sent him back the files, recorded.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And in the between it, I had invited a Thousand and his crew to be on a song. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm working with DJ Proof on an album. He's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be the Waterproof album. And I'm like, actually, it is.
That's a dope name.
I don't think I've ever told that story. I definitely have never told it that lengthy.
Right.
That long of a road to get to the point. But definitely props to Thousand, Sir Charles. He's the one who coined the phrase the Waterproof, and now we're running with it, man. It's my partner in rhyme and business partner, Charlie Fast, always says we could have ideas, but once we write them down, we're materializing them. We're putting them into the physical universe. And once we have them on record or on merch, we've created something out of an idea. Right. So we have the Waterproof shirts, man. We have freaking Waterproof again, wax coming, and we've created an entity, man, a new gangstar, freaking MC DJ producer duo that's putting out dope boom bap.
Man, that's what's up. And me being here in Chicago, we don't always know what's going on in other regions. Like, I've had Shoddy on here, and salute to you for helping me have him on the show, and my guy Mighty Healthy. And they're repping Florida. And when they're talking to me and I'm listening to their music, I'm like, I always thought Florida was like, Luke or We Like the Cars. What's that stupid song? I mean, like stuff like that. That's like the cars that go boom. Like those songs like that.
The and it's Tina that, and Buddy.
Yeah. I like looking at the video, by the way. I just, the sound down is what I prefer. But, but yeah, I mean, that's the perception of Florida. And that's part of it, but that's really not what's going on in 2021, and I'm just glad to know that it's, man.
And honestly, it did like that's why we always try to drive home the point. I heard the Shoddy interview, and thank you so very much for interviewing Shoddy, man. He's one of our freaking top shooters out here.
Salute,
and I know he brought it up too. We come from a rich history over here, man, where we're not just a bunch of kids that heard cats doing it a certain way somewhere else and are trying to mimic them. No, we've come up here freaking battling each other, battling not only in cyphers face to face, but on fucking stages, learning how to rock crowds. And there's a rich community, man, and a rich scene out here that have built up some killers, man, and some people who put out quality hip hop. Now, like in any region, right? You're gonna have those who are trying to do it, and those who just stand
exactly
out, right? And what I love about hip hop is that it actually armed any group of people who want to follow it with the tools to start a scene anywhere, right? And that's why there's hip hop scenes that are started in Africa and in Brazil and in South America and in Germany and in Poland. Because all you need is some rebellious kids who ain't got nothing better to do, right? But have some music and yo, you can learn how to freaking do hand styles and freaking go and get ill enough where you go bombing. You can learn how to break in your own house. You don't need any special equipment. All you need is a cardboard box if you want to use that. You can learn how to rhyme and freaking, and now thanks to technology, anybody can produce, right?
Yeah, 100. Right. Not all of them are good, yeah. But yeah.
No, but at least,
yeah,
but at least
the tools are there. Yeah.
To practice and to get, and if you got a group of people that are practicing and stuff starts evolving, man. Like right now, man, salute to our OGs out here, Crazy Hood Productions, DJ EFN's company and crew, his whole media company, Crazy Hood Productions. They've been out here in Kendall since late 80s, early 90s, and they were like the spearhead for everything hip hop here, man. They were the first ones to make contacts with big artists and get them on mixtapes down here with artists from Miami. That's how EFN works with Nori now. He was one of the first people to bring Nori down to Miami and treat him like family. And ever since then, Nori's been tied in with them. But one thing that they do real big is they have a branch called the Crazy Hood Film Academy. And right now, this weekend, they are airing their latest documentary. They have a series called Coming Home. And the first one was Coming Home Cuba, where they took some of their artists to Cuba that were born in Cuba to visit their family over there and see hip hop in Cuba. They did one in Colombia, right? And now the latest one, they went back to South Africa, where Recognize, I don't know if you know Recognize, a strain of music, part of Mayday,
uh-huh.
Right? So Recognize is one of our top shooters out here, one of our biggest artists out here. He went on to win the MTV Rap Battle in, I think, 1999.
Wow.
Freaking huge. Or 2003, he also battled Rain Man and beat him, who at that time was named Rain Man. Now we know him as RJ Payne.
Got you.
And he beat him on New Year's Eve on MTV. Freaking huge, freaking battles and shit. And he's one of our hometown heroes out here. He's originally from South Africa, and the Crazy Hood Film Academy went over there to South Africa, and they went to interview people like Sampa the Great, a female MC from Africa who's nasty, fucking fantastic MC, interviewing OGs from the Africa hip hop scene in this one town. And you can see how hip hop has a way of building communities anywhere, man. So when you say that, oh, up here in Chicago, we think of Miami, we think this music and stuff, and the same thing, like
right.
there's places that you wouldn't think that there's hip hop and a scene, right? And you think, oh, they know hip hop because of the people that they heard in New York or the people that they heard in Cali, right? But nah, man, it's been around so long that there's people and everyone, there's
exactly.
scenes in most big cities, and it's about tapping into them because you never know who's there that's just getting overlooked because you're not from this big scene. Like, shit, how much did Common have to go through before he got heard because he was from Chicago and not from New York,
right?
And now motherfuckers are looking for that Chicago sound left and right. And some of the illest spitters are coming out from Chicago. I mean, some of my favorite new spitters, Saba, the whole Pivot Gang, Mick Jenkins, that freaking, they're all coming out of the Shy. And I love that new wave that's coming out of there. And it's just every region brings its own little flavor to it, its own little taste. But it's all hip hop, man. And it's dope because you can find it in different places. Now with the internet, it makes it easier to find it.
Exactly. Technology, social media, that's exactly what I was going to say, has made it all. It's not even just regional, it's just international. I mean, you got producers
yes,
and cats
man.
From other countries and just killing the game. And it seems like there's a lot of good beat makers in Brazil and in Spain and stuff. So it's amazing to me that how much it's grown. And like you said, it's been around for going on 50 years now. I mean, so it's not this ain't new anymore. This shit has been here for a long time. So it can't just be New York and LA anymore. Those days are way gone. And places like Florida, they've been on the come up for a long time. It's just some people just been sleeping.
When you think, I traveled up to New York a couple times in my earlier career when I was recording, and it sucks because at the time that I went, it was beginning of 2000s, right after the Ruckus era, and it was sad going to New York to a couple of studios and working with a couple of producers, no big name producers, just producers that were on the come up, the beats that they were showing us being down south trap beats, down south
following the trends. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm here like, I'm in motherfucking New York, the mecca of hip hop. And you got, I came over, I could have gotten that shit back home. I could have called freaking, I could have called freaking Light C from down the block and freaking gotten this shit. I came over here to get some boom bap, and this is what you guys are going to show me. And it's crazy when producers are trying to follow the trends, but then you see things that, that have a longstanding history in places like New York and Cali, like End of the Week, EO Dub, like the Project Blowed community out in Cali, right? Like those places are overlooked. And when MCs start making it big, they're like, yeah, I used to go out and yo, those are the breeding grounds that push out real artists that aren't going to be cookie cutter, that aren't going to be test tube babies for a label, right? Or soundlinks. Those are the places where real artists are bred, because real artists don't look for the easy way. Real artists want to get validation by knowing I play this for a crowd. I see that they're feeling it. I know that it hits, right? Not just because I paid freaking somebody to put it up on a Spotify list and I see my stats going up, my likes going up. That's fucking bullshit. Right? How do you see it freaking reacting with the crowd? How do you see it moving? How do you see people freaking requesting it when it's out there, man? That's how you gotta gauge the shit. If you're not out there touring with your music, if you're just comfortable thinking that, yeah, I put up the song on freaking Spotify and I got this many views. Oh yeah, I put it up on Bandcamp and only 5 people bought it because I have haters. Get the fuck out of here. You got haters. Yeah. No, nobody knows you, man. You gotta get your shit out there, man. And that's the way that you'll know. If you go out there and you do enough shows, like I said, we just had the blessing of opening up for Conway and 13.
Yeah, I saw those posts, man. That's gotta be something, man.
Yo, it was a blessing to work up to that point, to drop an album that was big enough down here and supported enough down here that that DJ Heron, I mean, he is DJ Heron. If you're talking about hip hop, independent, underground, real hip hop in Miami, he is the top echelon. He is not the freaking club DJ. He is not the sellout DJ. That's the man that all the people in freaking the real hip hop community know. And that's the man that they call when they say, I want to come down to Miami, Heron. Bam, he makes it happen. And the fact that Heron tapped us and he says, I need you to perform. And I told him, because I know how it goes when we book a big artist like that. It costs a lot of money. And most times artists have to freaking come together and everybody invests so that we could bring it down. And so I asked him, okay, how much is it going to cost us? He's like, nothing. You guys got a dope album right now. Come out and freaking open a firm. And that was the biggest blessing, that it wasn't on no pay to play. It wasn't on no, right. No, it was on the strength of the album. He knows the work that we put in, and we went out there and we rocked the fuck out of the crowd, man, in a time. And I stood there after we did our set and before it, and I was talking to a couple of peers, and I'm here like, it sucks because the audience nowadays can't tell the difference between a good original act and fucking some, like, there were people up there opening up for 38 Special and Conway, rapping over their own lyrics, man, over their backing track. Right. After we got off and stuff, and we did that shit, no backing track, we did that shit freaking all natural, going back and forth, chants, crowd freaking call and response. I mean, we rocked the fuck out of that shit. But after us, the kid who came up, man, I swear to God, it was like he let his Spotify play and he was just doing his ad libs. I swear. Jesus. He was staring at the floor, not even rapping his verse. Just coming in on the last three.
Is that MC High Pitch, like that voice you're just doing? Is that what that goes?
I'm here like, yo, I think the main act got COVID and couldn't make it. And he told this freaking hype man, yo, just go for me and just do the hype. I'm over the road. Because, wow. It was the worst thing in the world. But the fact that my man was next to me and he's an older dude and stuff who came up in the scene, who came up in hip hop in New York. He's like, you know what's sad? That kid is on his second song and he's still rapping and they haven't taken him off the stage yet. He's like, back in the days, there would have been bottles flying at that kid,
dude,
by the first
song.
You ain't
kidding. Oh my God, man.
Right? And I'm here like, yo, the fact that the crowd doesn't know the difference anymore. They're just like numb to it already. right? And I was like, yo, it's the funny thing that's gone on with music now, that it's just a Spotify generation, and they're just freaking, it's all background noise to them, man, unless you give them something to freaking wake them up, and that's when they'll tell the difference. They'll be like, oh shit, this guy's putting on a show, and I have to interact here, and I have to freaking be involved, and okay, and it's snapping them out of that, man. And that's what we're trying to do, one last hurrah before freaking we lose everybody to the Matrix.
Yeah. And I'm sure COVID has something to do with that too, because people haven't been on stage in a while. But that being said, you know, a lot of the old school acts I've had on here, and you know, even ones that are not old school, it's just the stage show is just as big as putting out records or putting out songs on, like you said, Spotify, mm-hmm. or iTunes, whatever. You know, it's one thing to put out a song, man, but if you can't perform it in front of people, you're going to lose that connection, and you're not going to – it's just different, man. Like you said, you've done it so many times, you know what it's like to be on stage and perform.
If we learned anything in the last couple of months, it was a fucking lesson that was brought to us by freaking The Lox via Professor Jada Kiss, dog.
Oh, that verse is – yeah, man, dude. without a doubt.
My man turned to me and said, I guess this young buck didn't see the verses.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm like, no, either he didn't see the verses or he thought fucking Dipset won that shit. Right?
That's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, yo, for the cats, they're like, yo, they were fucking killed. Get the fuck out of here, man. And when I saw that, man, as a fucking MC, I said, I have no excuse, bro. Nobody has no excuse. You shouldn't stand on a stage now that the gauntlet has been thrown. You should fucking reconsider standing on a stage if you can't do what Jada Kiss did. And I went and I opened up that show, and by the second to last song, I was gassed, bro. I was dying, freaking. Yeah. I was trying to figure out what words I could cut out of my verse to freaking fit enough air. I mean, like, what are the unnecessary buzz and you know, straight freaking where it still makes sense what I'm saying. But it was breath control. Like, it's true what you say, man. The not being on stage and not doing it regularly because of COVID, the not being out, it takes its toll, man. That's an endurance game, and you have to be in good shape for it. And to see Jada Kiss and freaking Styles P go at that shit at their age, at that caliber, man, and that shit was some God level shit, man. That's the kind of shit that we would see on videos, right? And that's the whole thing. Like, now being on the other side of it and seeing how people shoot videos,
right,
and different techniques, see that, like, it takes the magic away. When we used to watch the videos as kids, we're like, yo, they look like superheroes. Yo, who freaking talks like that? And their movements and their hand movements and that. But to see them doing it live, yo, at that full force, no messing up, yo, just, you could tell they trained that shit, and they were a unit, man. And whatever, man, it was really a raising of the MC flag of, this is what it is to do this shit at top caliber, to take your art serious. And I think for any MC out there, they have to follow those rules now, man. And if it don't look like that, don't even bring it up, because you're making yourself look stupid.
You reminded me too, because I mean, I've seen so many artists over the years, and I remember one time I saw Rakim, and that's like the next level. Like, where you've got so many songs, your catalog is so deep that he just, like, would take verses off. Like, he'd just stand there with the mic and the crowd would just do the whole verse, and he'd come out like a song or two, and he'd let them do it, you know. And he would just, like, mimic the song, and it's just, it's that's that next level, but not everybody can be on that level at all. Rakim's on his own, but
no, man. And once again, that's where you're on freaking God level already. Like KRS, man. KRS will ever always go down as one of the dopest live performers, even now at his age, because half of it is his energy and that energy and that freaking, it feels like you're in a cypher when he performs. But the other half is that you know most of his catalog.
Exactly.
Right. Or at least the hook and stuff. And that gets, that's why down here, we WVCC radio, the little Twitch show that I run Tuesdays and Thursdays, and another local podcast. So I'm part of a group out here called the SoFlow Media Gang. We're a bunch of podcasters and stuff. Salute to Human Sushi, Brews, Beats and Eats, a great podcast about hip hop, craft beers and little food trucks and fusion restaurants we have here in Miami. If you're into any of those things, check out Brews, Beats and Eats on Spotify. And on SoundCloud, my man Orion runs a podcast every week called What They Do Hip Hop Radio. If you're interested in the South Florida hip hop history I'm talking about, or South Florida underground independent hip hop, you want to see hip hop from a different scene. And once again, man, that's what's dope. I don't know about you, Soundwave, but you remember back in the days when a mixtape from another city used to come across you, a link to something and you heard something like, I remember, bro, we used to have a yearly B-boy jam called Pro-Am down here in Miami. And one year, the year that Common dropped One Day It All Makes Sense, right? I'll never forget it, because
and that's a literal mixtape. I mean, you're actually like a cassette. It's not just a...
a little mixtape. Check out the story I'm about to give you. The year that Common dropped One Day It All Makes Sense, remember the album, the Brown album, freaking the Lauryn Hill song and stuff?
Right.
I forget it was that year because we walked into the club where the program was throwing the jam, and they were giving away free full-size posters, like the movie posters, right? And it was Common, like in a high school freaking like hallway with lockers around them. I'll never forget, I had that shit riding in my room for long ass time, man, until I got married. And
she made you take it down.
Yeah. She's like, oh, okay, it's time to grow up, brother. So we go to the back, and the B-boys are freaking running the floor in the front of the club and stuff. And we go to the back room, and there's a DJ Craze is just freaking spinning beats. And I get into a cypher back there, and I end up meeting this brother from Chicago, and we end up freaking, yo, my boy Charlie Fast still remembers his name. I can't remember people's names for anything. But we hit it off, man. At the end of the night, he's like, yo, let me bless you with this and hit me off with a freaking mixtape. And I didn't know it at that time, but that mixtape had early Indelible MCs on it.
Wow.
Early Company Flow on it.
Jeez.
Early freaking Mr. Complex.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Right. That sounded a little like freaking...
It's like that late 90s underground scene.
Yes, yeah, man. Yeah. And it was all these cats that I had never heard of and that I wouldn't hear about them. And that first time of hearing that, she's like, yo, who are these cats with all these crazy styles? And that's what happens when you find a community, a pocket, a scene from another state. You start hearing a bunch of voices that you've never heard before. And you might come across some different styles you never heard before. The reason I say all that is because when I tell people, yo, if you want to check out What They Do Hip Hop Radio, you're going to hear what South Florida underground hip hop is. And it'll sound familiar because it'll sound real boom bapish, or sound real freaking like electro freaking Def Jux-y or West Coasty and stuff. It has influences from all that, but it'll all be something new. So check out What They Do Hip Hop Podcast on SoundCloud. Me and Orion last year, at the end of last year, we said, let's, in the vein of all these verses that are going on, let's do a verses of my hood. I live in a hood in Miami called Kendall. It's not a hood. It's really a suburb. It's a very beautiful suburb.
We got trees and squirrels and stuff. Yeah, dog park.
This is where when you work hard and you come up, you move
there's
out.
There's no crate challenges out here. Yeah.
Yo, everything out here is fucking nice posh food trucks and freaking fusion restaurants and craft beer freaking breweries. My man Orion lived in an area called Hialeah, which is known for factories, traffic, and rain. Yeah.
That's great.
Like it. But basically, it's north side versus south side. It was in the vein of, yo, it'd be dope if we did something repping our two hoods, just like New York has battles between boroughs, and we start amping it up for a couple months, and we do a versus of the top 20 hip-hop tracks that came out of Kendall versus the top 20 hip-hop tracks that came out of Hialeah. So in doing that, we had a lot of artists that were like, I know you're going to play like four of my joints. And we had to bring people down to earth and tell them,
what?
Listen, bro. Listen, brother. And they're like, you know what? I'm just going to hold my own verses against somebody else. I'm like, that's cool, man. And maybe 40 people will watch. But the thing is, the reason people watch the verses in freaking the thousands and hundreds of thousands and the millions numbers is because people know those songs and have a connection with them. It's not, does this guy rap better than this guy? They could care less. They're hearing songs that they have.
It's not even really a versus either. I mean, we had like Ghostface and Raekwon. That was just like two dudes just hanging out, doing some stuff.
Yeah, hanging out, performing and freaking performing their tracks. The same thing with right. freaking one of the most entertaining ones was Meth and freaking Red. And
yes.
That was them freaking doing their live show.
Right.
And yo, but just showing, it's really dope how they evolved it though. Like, you remember at the beginning, it was just them playing the song. RZA and Primo was one of the freaking
that was
best
great.
Ones early.
It got off on a bad start because of the technology aspect of it, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, because the audio, but still, you felt like, yo, this is rugged as fuck.
You already know. You already know where it's going to be.
Man.
These guys got some classics.
Yo, but that's the whole thing. That
right.
Hearing them all, hearing all the gems, and that's why people got into the freaking Teddy Riley versus Babyface one. It was just hearing the classics. One of my favorite ones was the Erykah Badu versus freaking Jill Scott. Yo, that shit was fucking awesome. And to see the two sisters building together.
Right.
And I think it's done a lot for hip hop, and it was a great way. Saluting and hats off to Swiss Beatz for getting all that together, because really, like, now, no joke, Dipset, freaking the Lox, and I think who was it? State Property, what are they called?
Oh, yeah. What the hell?
They're all going on tour now.
So based on that versus now, all the reaction and the vibe
the
from that,
they're
moving
that shit.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, they're taking it freaking stadium to stadium, right? And that's a great way of saying, yo, we can make something out of this. And yeah, definitely the pandemic has been bad and stuff, but I think hip hop rose to the occasion, and I don't think many other genres did as much as hip hop, right?
Yeah.
When we saw that, we did what we always do. We found the light pole, and we found a way of connecting the boombox or the freaking sound system to it. When Corona hit, I was maybe 6 months into my first year of doing WVCC. And I remember when it hit, just the fact that people needed something to tune into because they were at home and they couldn't go out to the clubs anymore. My viewership freaking grew. And then I saw people like Questlove doing it and Maceo doing it on Twitch and stuff. And people were just flooding to them. People's IG lives went crazy because people were just tuned in. They didn't have anything else to do. And I think hip hop took full advantage of that and said, yo, there's still a place. There was nothing as cool as going into some of those chats and chatting with your friend and being there like, yo, that was freaking comedy.
Yeah.
Just drop a chat. Yo, Michelle Obama's in this bitch. Yo, at the Jill Scott and Erykah Badu, Michelle Obama was in the chat room, but I think everybody just freaking fell back like, yo, you were sharing the
chat
with
right.
Michelle
when you start to see these big time celebrities in there, and you know, like D Nice is on like TV shows talking about it, because it was like, wow, this whole idea of, you know, DJing online, it's like, yeah, he's been DJing for like 30 something years or whatever, like mm-hmm. you're just now getting tuned to who this dude is, and now look how much it's grown since then. And yeah, we can't leave the house, you know, at least especially back then. And I don't remember the last time I went to a concert. I think it's on Alcoholic show like 2 years ago or something, and I haven't been to one since, and I don't know when I'm going to go again, because I had a baby since then, and I'm probably done for a while. But man, salute!
You're not missing much. I'll tell you one thing: it was the weirdest thing to be out at that show because it was that it was that feeling of these people don't know what they're doing out here anymore.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, I came out because it's freaking, but it feels weird. I don't know if it happened to you, Mark, but did it happen to you when you started going out again? After the first initial lockdown, we were freaking stuck inside for a freaking long time. And
I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, I haven't like gone out, you know, like adult stuff, you know, like I used to, you know, adult beverages and all that.
But
yeah, but you're talking about, yeah, right. Just going to the store and you know, you see the knuckleheads, you know, people who just don't know how to react. And you're right, man.
It's not even that. For me, one of the things that I immediately noticed is the first time the first weekend after the real serious lockdown, and we went out to Walmart to freaking get big supplies again. I remember thinking, we said, we're going to go to Walmart and then we're going to go to another store and then we have to do this other thing. And we were halfway through Walmart. I was there like, yo, let's wrap it up. Let's get home.
Yeah.
Your body didn't want to be out there.
No, that's true.
And that's something that scares me, man. I'm here like, are they freaking lulling us into willingly staying inside, man? And where we go out and it doesn't even feel like one thing I've noticed down here in Miami, the hospitality industry has taken a fucking dive, right? Because A, the people who said, no, I could make more money off freaking unemployment. And so they quit, right? Or they took their furlough and they haven't gone back to work since. And then the new people that are in there are inexperienced or young. And every restaurant that me and my wife have gone to since the quarantine was lifted down here in Miami, every time the service sucks or the food is bad or it's slow and stuff. And we have to say it's not their fault. They're just working at half staff.
Right.
Everything is freaking.
And it's inexperienced people, right? Because they had to hire whoever walked through the door with a resume or sign an application. Yeah, I got you.
I saw a sign at Wendy's, at the Wendy's across the street from my house the other day that said, hiring now. Work today, get paid tomorrow. That's how desperate these motherfuckers are, dog. Yo, they need workers. And they're like, yo, please come in. I'll pay you by the end of the night and stuff, cash. Right? Wendy's is paying under the table, man. It's bad. When I come back to the point I was trying to make is you go out and you have those experiences and you're like, no, I don't want to go out to a restaurant. No, I don't. There's no movie theater to go out to. The malls are freaking closing down. All the shops are closing down. And pretty soon, man, it's like, I'd rather just shop from my house and I'd rather just stream it at my house and I'd rather just freaking be at the club at my house, right? The number one question I get asked now when I run a monthly showcase trying to do, and that's another thing. I do a monthly showcase of live music and ciphers and stuff at the end of every month. And the numbers haven't been that great because the number one question I get asked is, are you streaming it? Can I watch it from home? People just rather be at home, man. And under the guise of maybe it's safer but I just think that we're getting comfortable just hunkering down, man. And it's scary. You know, whenever I think of that, I think of the Fifth Element.
That's a good multi-pass. Yeah, but a lot of it too is that it's cheaper. You know, and like for me personally, you know, I got a little one, you know, so I can't really do that much like I used to. So it's easier for me. I mean, COVID is a separate issue, but I can't really go anywhere as it is. So yeah, it's cool to just pick up my phone and I get to see Redman, you know, and Method Man do a show. But I would miss and I would like to go. I mean, like I'm a big baseball fan. I haven't been to a baseball game in 2-3 years. Yeah, you know, so I like watching the games, but today I'm watching the Cubs they're hot garbage these days, but I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, I would love to be there right now instead of watching it on TV. So there's that, it's starting to come back for me, but I'm different because I'm from this era where we used to do stuff all the time. The young people coming up, they're not going to know what concerts are like and all this stuff. So they're going to.
Exactly,
yeah,
man.
It's different.
There's a complete disconnect. And I invite you, Mark, when you do go to your first game, do me a favor, go think of me and send me a message and tell me how you feel out there. I'm interested in knowing if you feel weird or not out there.
Well, the closest I've been so far to anything like that is I went to a Dave and Buster's for my nephew's birthday like a month ago. And I started getting anxiety because there's like so many people in there and I don't know who these people are, where they came from, where they're going.
And they're all touching these fucking machines.
I'm touching video game machines and I'm like, ah. Oh man, when is this over? When we get the hell out of here?
So Miami, since Miami got the first lockdown, we were masked up. Everything was heavy down here because we had some of the heaviest numbers. But we live in Florida. Florida's a real red leaning state, lax everywhere else than freaking the big cities. The big cities are left leaning. Everywhere else is real right leaning. So my mother-in-law lives up in North Florida. We drove up to visit her. And while we're driving up there, there's a phenomenon that has opened up along the expressways of Florida called Buc-ee's. I don't know if they have Buc-ee's up in Chicago, do they?
Yeah, and they sell cigarettes really cheap because my mom's buys cigarettes from there. Not to put her on blast, but yeah, they're out of the county here where we live. So they're like a gas station deal, right?
I don't know how small they are over there. Over here, they are like the Walmart of gas stations. They are, the Buc-ee's that they opened up here has 220 gas pumps surrounded it in all four directions. in there, it's like a Walmart. They have freaking, they have a section with Bucky's clothes, a section with Bucky's kitchen freaking ornaments, freaking a freezer of all Bucky's freaking jerky and stuff. That place was huge. And the thing was that we were from Miami, so we're used to the mask mandate and everything, and 6 feet apart. We go in there, and that shit was like the Magic Kingdom, all inside of one gas station. Yo, shoulder to shoulder, I almost flipped out, man. I almost freaking ran out of there. It was crazy, because after not being around so many people for so long, and then you walk in, then you're like, these people ain't wearing masks. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, Bucky's is a little shady, man. I've been in there a couple times, and
at least down here, they're brand new. And the one thing I noticed is they had their hiring signs outside, and they were starting people at $15 and going up from there. And I'm there like, yo, these people are at least taking care of their employees. And everything was super clean and nice. I guess because their new outfit over here, they had it like nice and shiny, like Wawa just hit down here in Miami, and people flock to Wawa's like that thing's the drive-in theater and stuff. It's crazy, man. The way people flock to anything new that you open up. It's just nuts, man.
It's not, yeah. And out here, like I said, it's kind of a low budget gas station. People go there. I don't go there, but I know its reputation, and I know it exists. that's about it.
Oh, Mark, I never thought you'd be so highbrow.
I never thought I would be either, but here I am. No doubt, man. Before I let you bounce, man, we're gonna play a couple songs in the podcast here. Cuban Hugh Jackman and The Unseen. Let heads know about those two joints, and of course, where they could find all your music and where they could follow you and all that.
Thank you for choosing those two, man.
Yeah, bangers.
We were,
man,
talking earlier about the freedom and the opportunities the internet has given us to network with scenes, artists, producers, graphic artists from around the world. The Cuban Hugh Jackman is produced by my good friend Tally Rodriguez, a fucking beast of a producer and a great MC. He represents the Knuckle Draggers crew. If you know G-Fan Black, if you know P-Row, if you know Cloak and Dagger, that's all Knuckle Draggers, and he's one of the producers from that crew. He produced Cuban Hugh Jackman, salute to Tally Rodriguez. And The Unseen is produced by German super producer Bofat. Bofat is the producer behind a lot of Teyamo Denku's most recent albums. And it's funny because it's what we were talking about before. He's from a dope scene and community in Germany, but now he says, I'm more known for producing U.S. artists than European artists or artists overseas and stuff. And so I want to give a big shout out to Bofat for blessing me with the beef with the NC, man. You can find all of our stuff on Bandcamp. H, you spell it with an 8, CH2O is the Bandcamp. And please, man, follow us on Twitch, WVCC Radio. We stream live at least 4 times a week. We got two week night shows and 2 week morning shows. Not that they're week, they're just during the week.
Got
so
you, right?
Go ahead and tune in, man. And once again, Mark, man, thank you so very much for taking the time, man.
Yeah,
and,
man.
Letting me get all this madness about.
Now I got to have you on again because a whole hour flew by, and I have like 20 things I didn't even ask you about. We'll save that for the next time. What's coming up for you? And you got another weekend bag in the works too?
Yes, man. Well, the weekend bag is our weekly blog. If you follow Dope Hip Hop, you want to know a good just one spot place to find all the good hip hop that's come out and get some reviews on it. Please follow me on IG at H2O Wins. You spell it with an 8, CH2O Wins, WINS on IG. Follow me there. I'm sure you're gonna post it on your post
for sure.
Every weekend when I drop the weekend bag, I'll have it there. Please be on the lookout in September. I'm dropping my group album. I have a group with Echo on the 1536 of New Mexico called Native Slang is the group album. We got 2 singles out right now that are getting play all around the U.S. and overseas. Check us out on Bandcamp Native Slang and follow us on IG there. And yeah, man, throughout the rest of the year, I got a couple albums that we're dropping with DJ Proof, the Native Slang album, a couple group projects. So if you like good hip hop, man, and people who love good hip hop, just follow us, man, and you're going to be in good company.
Man, that's what's up, man. And salute for putting my guy DJ Rear One's Direct Flight in one of your weekend bags a couple months ago, man.
Fantastic.
That was awesome, man. We definitely appreciate that.
Fantastic. Yeah. And to all the artists out there listening in, man, if you're looking for an outlet to get your stuff played in, not only South Florida, but we're getting viewership in South America, in the Caribbean, in Japan, Germany, France, England, on the West Coast. If you just want to submit your music to somebody who's playing dope hip hop and has a good audience that loves dope hip hop, go ahead and follow me on Twitch. All my information on where to send the music to is there. Once again, it's twitch.tv/WVCC radio, or just search WVCC radio Saif Life, and you'll find us, man.
Man, no doubt. And I had DJ Chill Will on here a couple episodes back, and he was talking about Twitch, and I thought it was like TikTok. I thought it was some kiddie stuff, but apparently the grown-ass men are on there killing it, man. So I need to get on Twitch, man.
Yeah, well, once again, when I got on there, I thought it was just a bunch of kids gaming and freaking streaming their games. But now, if you're a hip-hop head and you want to follow some dope hip-hop, the Beat Junkies have a Twitch channel on there. P-Rock has a Twitch channel where he sets up beats. Maceo has a dope channel where he just plays funk and soul. Quest has a dope. I mean, there's a lot of dope people streaming on Twitch, and there's a lot of different things you can find. And if you're looking for a good way to start your own podcast, your own stream, it's a real good tool.
Man, salute to H2 Owens. Thanks for coming on the Infinite Banter Podcast. We're going to blaze a couple of your joints on here. And for those listening, definitely check out the Waterproof on Bandcamp. And the new stuff you got coming out, man. You're not stopping at all, man.
Yeah, no, man. It's about a single every 2 weeks, at least one single a month, at least one group single and a group project every 2 months. So please follow me on Bandcamp. Just remember to spell it with an 8, H-C-H-2. And that usually will find me on anything, on YouTube, on Bandcamp, on Spotify. H2 Owens, man. I'm your friendly neighborhood hip-hopper.
There it is. Spider-Man reference from my man, H2 Owens. Big up, dude. Salute to you. We'll talk about comic books on the next one, man. Big up, dude.
On the next one.
Man, thanks for coming through, man. This has been an honor to have you on, dude. Been talking for a minute, so glad to finally get to talk to you and chop it up a little bit.
Yes, man. Bomb. And the next one, I'm here for you guys. Anything you ever need, okay?
You got it, man.
Bomb. Soundwave, thank you so very much. And to all your listeners, Bomb, you keep on rocking with the Infinite Banter Podcast, man. He's got all the goods for you when you want to talk hip-hop and all that crazy shit about zombies.
There it is. I was about to ask you to do a drop. I guess that is the drop, right?
That's the drop, baby.
Man, salute again. H2 Owens in the building on the Infinite Banter Podcast. Thanks again. Man, appreciate it, dude.
Be good, brother. Bless.
Cool, man.
So thanks a lot, Mark.
Man, it's a lot of fun talking with H2 Owens. Like I said, talking about The Walking Dead and crazy stuff going on, you know, concerts online and things. It's a different time right now, man. And I'm cool with, you know, staying at home and watching Versus and things like that, because I don't know when I'm going to get out the house. Because I got a 2-year-old, so I'm here. So everybody, man, put out your concerts online. One of these days, I'll be able to get back out again and see something live. But not till this coronavirus is pretty much handled and the kid is a little older to where we can go out and do stuff. How am I going to see Halloween Kills in October? I got to figure that one out. Can't do that bad parenting and try to bring her to that. So no, she's... They can't do that. Got to find a sitter that night, man. The only problem is everybody I know wants to see it, so I'm going to have a hard time checking out Michael Myers and leaving her with somebody. I'll have to find someone. We'll figure it out. These are problems I never had to have 2 years ago. This is fine. It's good problems, man. All right, let's get into another track from my man H2 Owens. This right here is Cuban Hugh Jackman. And speaking of movies, you know, I'm a big X-Men fan. I've always said X-Men 2 is one of my favorite comic book movies of all time. It still holds up. And it was before, you know, the big Marvel revolution and everything. And Hugh Jackman definitely was really great as Wolverine. So this cool cover art on here, definitely check it out. But here's H2 Owens with Cuban Hugh Jackman on the Infinite Banter Podcast. Hey, bub.
Could have been a poster boy for American value. Born and raised in the country's heartland. Instead, he earned infamy as one of the world's most prolific serial killers. Those closest never imagined he was capable of such brutality.
You shouldn't talk to this one. Leave the kid alone when he's walking to and fro with his hoodie over his headphones. No AirPods, them shits annoy. Plus he loses them too quick and never had a steady place to charge them shits. Pumps Johnny from the hospital on an old iPod with a cracked screen. Immune to COVID, his blood used to make the vaccine. Sold it to him at a hefty price. Engineered nanobots to itch the head of lice. He's that petty.
On tour, he spreads the black plague. He's that deadly. T-Rock's discography shitting on your best mix of rap medleys. You're traveling at a breakneck speed, heading headfirst into a brick wall made of barbed wire teeth. Who gives new meaning to the term dead end streets? Next to step to me, the next that I eat, it's that easy. Stuck Dick and Elsa melted up, Sub-Zero couldn't freeze me. Cops tell me halt, I charge, they shoot, why do they tease me? Do they really wanna see me release the beast within? Even my teeth have sinned, chewing off the cheeks of them who try to slow my hands. I rebut your grappling with nut grabbing, tear out your testicles, shove them in your trap to muzzle the yapping. Trapper, you saplings, I'm gadding off to halflings. Batman finds my bar format baffling. This ain't for TikTok choreographing, this for hip hop addicts who drop acid and jut like Chuck Manson. When they ask me, UH, my answer, who's asking? Disrespecting, catch the fist from the pissed Cuban Hugh Jackman. Reprising his role as Logan, if I'm a God, it's H2 Odin, leaking more info than Edward Snowden. My reputation growing in proportion to my radiation glowing. The power to pollute your air purity with a poem is what I'm bestowed with, so I own it as I choke him. The name is motherfucking H2 Owen.
Yo, peace, it's your boy Shoddy, showing pure gratitude to my man DJ Soundwaves at the Infinite Banter Podcast. What up?
I wanted to leave you guys with one little segment I did with H2 Owens that wasn't part of the official interview. We were talking about, you know, the weather being cold and differences between what it's like in Florida for him and what it's like up here in the Chicago area for myself. And, you know, I had to call out the coats and shorts guys because they might be coming out already, but they're going to come out. And I make fun of these dudes every year. I clown them. And it's just funny hearing H.G. Owens talk about he never heard of having to refill your tires of your car because the temperature drops. So it's really funny that I didn't want to lose this and not put it in here. So here's a little quick extra segment, a little extra bit from me and H.G. Owens talking about weather, which is usually something I think is like the lamest thing to talk about, but it actually was pretty funny. So yeah, I always joke that people who just say, hey, so how about that weather? It usually means they have nothing to say. You know, that's not really what happened here. This is just us shooting the shit about what's going on and a lot of crazy stuff. You turn on the news, obviously you know about the flooding and everything, but this is more than just some weather talk. But the basketball short guys with the coats, and you even put that even further and you're wearing like the flip-flops, calling you out every time, wearing scarves inside, dudes. I'll still call you guys out as well, all of you clowns. All right, here we go. Me and H2O ones, a couple minutes here talking about differences in the weather from where we live and things like that on the Infinite Banter Podcast. It's getting cold up here, though. It's already like...
Really? Is the temperature dropping already?
Yeah, man. It feels like fall, which I know is not that far behind. But this feels like it's like here already, like a couple weeks early. That's how it is in Chicago, though. It goes from like hot as hell to dropping.
Well, she was mentioned the temperature had dropped and they had to... she had to put air in her tires and stuff every morning when freaking
that's a real thing out here, man, especially if your
car. I've never heard of that in my life.
No, dude, well, I'll say this, I'll take that over hurricanes and everything I'm seeing on the TV the last few days. I'm good.
Crazy.
I'll wear an extra, you know, pair of pants or something, or I'm cool, man.
I always say the same thing the opposite way. I'm here like, yo, I could take a hurricane for one day and then picking up the mess friggin' for the whole week. But to be snowed in for a week or have to deal with freaking cold for a month or two and wearing long johns, I always thought that'd be bad. But man, after I saw what happened in New York,
yeah,
and Jersey this week, I'm here like, shit, bro, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And I was in their units in Brooklyn in the freaking toilets coming back up because it's so over flooded. I mean, like, bro, it's not bad enough that your streets are flooded, you can't get out of your building, but now you have freaking waste coming into the apartment. I'm like, man, how horrible is that, man?
That's a no. That's a big fat no, man. And it's not normal for them up there to have this kind of weather and everything's happening up there. I hope they all get through it, man, but it's brutal. I'm just glad that, like I said, I'm gonna stay in the Midwest. I'm gonna be over here. Or I'm gonna go somewhere like the Southwest where it just gets really hot and that's it.
it's funny, man. Whenever, especially down here in Florida, whenever we have a hurricane or hurricane season comes, we always go through that assessment of what would be a good place and a safe place to move to.
Exactly.
And it's really right now. And I mean, people could dance around it all they want, man, freaking take whatever side you want. But really right now it's pick your poison, man. What do you want to deal with? You want to deal with freaking floods? You want to deal with hurricanes? You want to deal with freaking tornadoes?
Right.
You want to deal with freaking what do you want? Because right now,
forest fires out west.
Yeah,
you know,
man, forest fires out west. I mean, like, yo, the whole earth is in freaking turmoil right now, man. So find out where you're going to get away to, because
yeah,
there's really
it's
no
not,
place, man.
It's not like there's a lot of options that are better. It's like, oh, we got that here. We got something else called cold and frostbite. And so, yeah, it's cool, man. It's wherever you go, you got a new problem that you might have left your old ones behind, but here's some new ones for you.
Hell yeah, so. Man. I'm considering moving up north, and I'm here like, and it's still summer here. And my friend's telling me, he's like, yeah, you're thinking right now, freaking, oh, move up north, it's gonna be nice, the season and stuff, until you go through your first winter. She's like, you're a Florida boy all your life. You've never been a winter. I mean, it's fucking, you need to thicken your base.
Yeah, man. We call them like, snowbirds up here, the ones who live here in the summer, maybe part of the spring, part of the fall, but they go down to Florida and places like that for the winter. Mm-hmm. And like they spend like 6 months down there and 6 months up here, because the best time to be here is basically May through September. That's like that's like the top notch time. I mean, it's there's some periods in there where it gets a little dicey, but yeah, once it's like December, January, February, that's it. It's a wrap. You ain't going nowhere.
You don't want to be there.
Nah. Or you just used to it, and you're just like, whatever. I mean, I see people with shorts on in February because it's laundry day and they're too lazy to put on pants. I don't know. But I see them dudes all the time, coats and shorts dudes. They're coming out probably in about a month. They're going to start coming out.
Coats and shorts.
Oh, you have no idea, dude. You have no idea.
That's classic.
Yeah, it's Chubbs. You're now listening to Infinite Banter, you motherfucker.
Make sure you check out my friends at the Bloody Babbles podcast.
Hey there, friends. Interested in another podcast to listen to between episodes? Well, you're in luck. Come check out Bloody Babbles podcast. We are a gaggle of babblers who talk of true crime and other gory wonderment. New episodes are released every Tuesday, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are streamed. Happy babbling, my friends.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your man, Vincent M. Ward, a.k.a. Oscar from the number one show, The Walking Dead. And I'm here with my man, Mark, from Infinite Banter. Y'all better stay tuned. Peace.
Time for you to leave, assholes.
All right, that is my guy, Kirk Acevedo, telling me to get the hell out of here. And that is exactly what I'm going to do. Big shout out to my guy, H2 Owens, for coming on the show. Had a blast talking with him. This album, The Waterproof, you definitely need to check it out. It's on Bandcamp. Like we said, check him out on Twitch. He does his live streams with Vice City Cypher, WVCC Radio, and his Weekend Bag. Definitely big upping a lot of hip-hop out there that needs that attention, needs that publication. So salute to H2 Owens and everything he's doing. And for School of Me and South Florida, like I said, as a Chicago person, most of my life I've always thought it was like Luke and all that Miami booty base stuff, but it's definitely a scene that's been there a long time, and they're on the come up. So definitely salute to those guys, and Shoddy and Mighty Healthy, people bringing Florida to the map. All right, that's it for the show. The next one, we'll have Mark Carrier, former Bears safety. We're going to kick off the NFL season talking with him, see how good the Bears are, or maybe how bad they might be, and everything else in between. So definitely stay tuned for that. Let's leave you one last song from H2 Owens. This is The Unseen. I really like this track. It gives shout out to Inspiration, some of the legendary crews and MCs in the game. So I really like how he sets this up. As always, follow the show on social media at Infinite Banter Podcast. Go on YouTube, type in Infinite Banter. You will find clips from past guests. Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. Listen to it on those places. Spreaker, everywhere that you hear podcasts, it's there. Check it out. So salute to my man H2 Owens. Let's get to that last track here. The Unseen on the Infinite Banter Podcast. Check out his album, The Waterproof. Check out WVCC Radio, Vice City Cypher, all the things about him that we promoted. Check it all out. Do not sleep. All right, here we go. I'm out of here. Until I do another one of these, I'm out.
Hey, asshole, get off the road.
Something like this beat here now. There I go again, putting the plow before the cow. It's cool, I become a pro at pulling a foot out of my mouth. Only problem when I do all that seems to come out is the disrespect of Rick James kicking your couch. Pardon my bitterness, but life's a bitch, bitching me out. For Christmas, she took my kids and my house. Nothing worse than the feeling that the person that you love since 17 is packing all your shit up in plastic bags and kicking you out. Instead of drinking it up, I did my sit-ups, minded my biz. Forgot about my ex-wife and minded my kids. As impossible as outdrawing Billy the Kid. Do you understand how silly that is? Or do forgive? I'm rambling once more. But by the look on the audience faces, it seems the crowd wants more. Smoke medicinal trees to release the pressure instead of resorting to deadlier measures. My ammunition not available at gun stores. My delivery is Amazon, door to door. Jive from my jaw, leave a jive turkey floored. Like a sidekick from Run Run Shaw, the illest vet that you never saw. Illest cat you never heard before. The illest vet that you never saw. Illest cat you never heard before. I love an intro that rolls into your ear canal. You know the type of smooth flow that make an ear go wow. The type you lay over a beat to make your peers so proud. You know something like this beat here now. Oops, there I go again, the dopest Cuban flowing. Call him H2 Ocean, style so tumultuous. Thought I died from your insults, had your eyes on me vultures. Now the water boy's electrified, watch me charge Joke Mars Vulture. Been spinning since I skated on Power Peralta, with more grease than dance feet on Johnny Travolta. More flavor than leche con ensalada in a Malta. My tongue's a loaded gun unholstered. God damn it, how rude of me waving this old thing around. The safety's faulty, forgive me if I spit around. Every time I do it hits an audience member in the crown. Squeezing a smile out of a frown. After I die above the clouds where I'll be found. In a cipher with the cherubim aliens giving me pounds. As a matter of fact, after the show, stick around. And I'll be down to cipher if you down. But make sure you bring that raw. The illest vet that you never saw. Illest cat you never heard before. Don't you love it when hip-hop hits your ear canal? That raw shit that makes your ears go wow. You know that shit you bump your head to, it moves the crowd. You know, something like this shit here now. I'm sorry, nah, fuck that. I offer no apologies. Hip-hop pet, it's in my baggy genealogy. Obsessed with graffiti and b-boy philosophy. DJ psychology, MC terminology. Study many different religious theologies. I'm against social injustice and racial inequality. I'm about the metaphysics, the Celestine prophecies, the astral astronomers, Aries my astrology, pardon moi. Instead of talking about me, I should be shouting out Common, KRS, EPMD, De La Tribe, LONS, the JBs, Mos Def, Pharaoh, Aesop, and LP. Those the MCs that influenced me, and the list goes on. Fonte for Sean, Blue, Joey Badass, J Electron, Blueprint 12.
Being on the Infinite Banner with my man Mark has been a pleasure.